is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. We've had their partnership manager and training specialist, Jefferson Mason, and marketing manager, Nick Bartlett, on the show in the past, and we couldn't be more excited about what they're doing for the game of basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market, and truly accelerate skill development faster than ever. Beyond efficient reps, Dr. Dish provides training expertise and versatility designed to develop complete players. The new Dr. Dish CT machine has further revolutionized basketball training with over 150 plus on-demand individual and team workouts from some of the best coaches and trainers in the game. These workouts include video instruction and combine game-like shooting drills with ball handling, conditioning, and agility drills. Along with workouts, the Dr. Dish training management system also provides stat tracking and analytics to track progress and ensure accountability. These are just a few reasons why top programs like Duke, North Carolina, Louisville, Florida, Baylor, and countless others are upgrading to Dr. Dish. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com. Follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. And make sure you mention the Hoopheads podcast to get $300 off your next Dr. Dish purchase. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get out and get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
You got to hide the vegetables in the sauce. Sometimes kids are learning different skills while they're having fun. And that's just, I just think you have to be very creative. There's more than one way to teach a skill. You got to be dynamic. You got to be creative. You got to be purposeful. You got to be efficient.
Coach Joe Stasizian has 30-plus years of skill development and coaching experience. He joined USA Basketball as a player development speaker and clinician at USA Basketball National Academies and regional clinics across the United States. He recently retired from his position as athletic director for West Perry High School. Joe was also formerly the National Director of Basketball and Youth Fitness at 24 Hour Fitness, where he managed programs in over 450 facilities nationwide. This position gave him the opportunity to work with countless elite NBA and WNBA coaches and players. He's also a 20-plus year veteran coach at the Duke University basketball camp, where he has gotten to know and befriend the Duke coaching staff, including assistant coach Chris Carrawell and head coach Mike Krzyzewski. Joe began his career in sports as an assistant coach at Dickinson College and later was the head boys varsity coach at Carlisle High School in Pennsylvania for 10 years. Joe is currently the director of Unleashed Potential, a basketball skill development company based in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. He has spoken at the Boston Celtics Coaches Clinic in Boston to over 100 of their youth basketball junior Celtic coaches from all over New England at the new practice facility in Boston. Joe was presented to a group of FIBA national team coaches from 8 different countries at the University of Delaware on effective youth basketball development. Make sure you subscribe to the Hoopheads podcast on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. And while you're there, please leave us a 5-star rating and review. Believe it or not, those ratings help your friends and colleagues find the show. If you really love what you're hearing, please recommend the Hoopheads pod to someone and get them to join you as a part of Hoopheads Nation. Have your pen and paper at the ready as you listen to this episode with Coach Joe Stasizian from Unleashed Potential in Carlisle, Pennsylvania.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinzing here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. And tonight we are pleased to welcome back to the podcast Joe Stasizian from Unleashed Potential in Carlisle, Pennsylvania. Joe, welcome back.
Oh, thank you, Mike and Jason. Thanks so much for having me back. Like I always say, you guys do a tremendous job. I'm just honored to be part of this with all the great coaches and people that you have had on here. So thanks again for having me.
Well, we're honored to have you be a part of it. And you were one of our very early guests back, as we talked about before we jumped here on the show, that back when you came on for the first time, the body of work wasn't nearly as large as it is now. And so we feel fortunate that you were one of the pioneers of jumping on the Hoopheads podcast with us. And it's great to have had your support throughout the time. And we wanted to have you back on because you've had some exciting things happen to you in terms of what you're doing there with Unleashed Potential and the opportunity to work with some NBA teams and also work with some Olympic national team coaches. So wanted to give you a chance to just share with people what you've been doing, what you've learned, what you're sharing out there with people, and things that can benefit coaches out there who may be listening to the podcast. So let's start maybe with your work with the junior NBA, junior Knicks, junior Celtics, and just talk about what you have going with those two groups.
Yeah, certainly. You know, it's really been a great, actually, since we last talked, you know, I've had so much great stuff go on. But one of those certainly is our work with the junior Celtics and the Celtics organization. A couple of years ago when did one of my coach academies for USA Basketball in Boston, some of the front office people from the Celtics happened to be there and heard me speak and approached me, wanted to have lunch with me or dinner with me and sit down and talk about how I could become part of the Celtics organization with their junior Celtics. And since that time, I've actually been involved with helping them run clinics, running youth coaching clinics, youth clinics, player clinics with them. And actually, it's grown to the point where, you know, they more or less tell me I'm part of the Celtic organization now, which is really, really an honor. And I can tell you guys this. I mean, you know, that new Auerbach facility, the practice facility in Boston, and the TD Garden and everything that they're doing there, you talk about a top organization. You know, in some of the things we talked about the last time with my work across the nation, every NBA city in the country and WNBA city in the country, I had some access to a lot of different NBA organizations and stuff. And I can truly say Boston, if they're not the best organization, they have to be one of the top couple, because the way they do things, like this in the past couple months, I've done 3 coaches clinics up there for their junior Celtics, part of the Celtics organization. Actually did one in the North Shore of Boston. Then they had me come up and do one in Newton, Mass. And then the third one I had just done here two weekends ago. I did one in Boston for all the inner city junior Celtics coaches at the Auerbach Center. And so all in all, I've done about 500 coaches in terms of their youth coaching organization. They have a huge footprint, especially in New England, because of being the only NBA team in New England. They have their organization has spread, very far with what they're trying to do with youth. And, it's really interesting because, not only are they doing great stuff with the kids up there, they're actually, and this is really interesting, they actually, with their youth program, they videotape kids like in practices and workouts and putting them through drills. And they have metrics where they measure or they track their improvement, which is pretty phenomenal for an NBA organization to be doing that with their youth. So,
that's fantastic.
Yeah, that's really cool. I mean, like I said, my travels, I'm very unique in what I have done across the country. And in my travels, I have never, ever seen an NBA team actually doing stuff to that extent with their youth. And then, with the coaches, I just love helping young coaches. That's part of why I do what I do, is to give back to the game and help young coaches. And you'd be amazed after I'm done speaking, how many coaches I pass up my email. I had a coach email me yesterday. Hey, I need some, some one-on-one competition type stuff to do in practice, some two-on-two, and a lot of them talk to me about how you run a youth practice. And I have a great model that I use that we can talk about a little bit later that I use when I speak for USA Basketball under coach academies across the country that is very, very popular. And I used to use this model all across the United States. But they just have been tremendous to me in my, Unleashed Potential. They had us up for a game numerous times as the VIP guests of theirs, tours through the TD Garden. Like I said, they consider us to be part of their organization now, which is a tremendous honor.
All right. So before I ask you a serious question, I'm going to ask you a semi-serious question.
Okay.
If the Celtics win a world championship, are you getting a ring, Joe?
Well, I tell you what, they've always been my team. Yeah, I doubt I'm going to get a ring, but I can say that I'm at least by a small part of their organization, because I'll tell you what, I mean, like I said, Sam Taub is the name of the front office person who handles the youth aspects and community development up there, and he just does a tremendous job with what he does. I got so much respect for him, and I got to meet Danny Ainge when I'm up there. And something else I wanted to share, maybe if we have time in this podcast, I spent some time with their assistant coaches up there. And what they're, what Brad Stevens' philosophy is for the Celtics organization. And it's some great stuff that I can pass along to some young coaches that are out listening to the podcast that they can apply to their teams. I mean, I really have got the inside, you know, the inside track to a lot of great, great stuff that they're doing up there in Boston.
All right, so let's talk about both aspects of that, what you've talked about so far in that. Give me an idea of some of the things that you share with the coaches that you speak to from a youth level, and then go ahead and share maybe some of those things that the Celtics organization has shared with you in terms of their youth program and what they believe in and what they've shared with you. So maybe hit what you share with the coaches first and then jump back to the Celtics.
Yeah, so basically what I, you know, one of the main things, and again, with my affiliation with Coach Showalter and USA Basketball, you know, I promote USA Basketball everywhere I go, and, you know, whether it's internationally or nationally. And basically, you know, I try to share all those, the curriculum and the guidelines for youth that we follow with USA Basketball. You know, and you'd be surprised, you know, we've only been doing this a couple years with USA Basketball in the youth space. And, you know, there are people that are out there that know that, but there's a lot of people out there that still don't know that, you know, in terms of getting a youth coach's license and in terms of the guidelines and the curriculum that are online for youth coaches. So I really go heavy into promoting that stuff. And I also break that down into what kind of things they should be teaching, what kind of skills they should be teaching, you know, things like not playing zone defenses, playing small-sided games, doing a lot of one-on-one, two-on-two, three-on-three as far as the competitions go, you know, and not spending so much time just playing, rolling the ball out, playing five-on-five. And, you know, and getting to that model that I promote nationwide with USA Basketball is our, you know, Unleashed is our competitive edge practice model. And, you know, I really spend a lot of time and actually not only talking about that, but I actually give them drills and things that they can incorporate into different aspects of that. For instance, you know, like the first part of that is a warm up with or without a ball, a dynamic warm up series, you know, and then we go into a core and balance series. And then a part of that practice will be a ball handling stationary movement series, and then some defensive work, whether it's stance, position, all those kinds of things. And then a shooting segment where you can break them into different stations and do some shooting and some finishing and things like that. And then another big part of that is what we call our competitive edge station breakdown, where, you know, you'll have three different stations going on at once and they rotate into. They'll have a speed, agility, quickness station. Then they'll have an attack series, maybe finishing at the rim station, you know, a jab series in there, or, you know, footwork series into all that. And then, you know, maybe some other offensive skills. And then we finish up with like a 3-on-3 cutthroat competition that we're really, really big with USA Basketball and, you know, playing a lot of 3-on-3. I know they do that on a national level. We do that in all the regional camps and clinics that we do with USA Basketball. So I really spend a lot of time on that because, you know, again, Mike and Jason, a lot, you know, here's what a lot of people don't understand, that a lot of these youth coaches are volunteers. They have full-time jobs. And a lot of them are like parents or dads or moms that don't know a lot about basketball. So they're there soaking up as much as they can. You know, they just want more and more and more that I can give them. So I just want to make sure that they're teaching the game the right way, you know, and it's supposed to be fun at the youth level, number one and foremost. But then secondly, it really should be more skills and then learning, you know, a little bit of competition involved with that. And then maybe some of the decision making as they advance through that. So they're the main things that I try to hit with them. And I'll be honest with you, you know, they usually give me like an hour, hour and a half, and we always run over. I mean, I get bombarded afterwards with, you know, I mean, all kinds of stuff. And you gotta, you know, and I tell coaches this all the time. It's like, you know, it's sort of like teaching, you know, a baby how to walk. You got to teach them how to crawl first. You can't assume that they know anything. You know, and that's really the way I approach it.
All right. So let me ask you a couple things from what you just said. One, can you explain your philosophy and feelings on why it's so important to have the dynamic warm-up and the speed and agility a part of every single youth practice? Can you explain why that's so critical to the development of a young basketball player?
Yes, and I'm glad that's a great, great question. And I'll tell you, and this sort of goes back to what we talked about the last time I was on. One of the things that I have found, and again, I feel very fortunate, and I say this all the time. I don't know that there's anybody out there. And again, I'm just speaking from, you know, reality and what I have done. I don't know if there's anybody out there that could say that they've been literally in every city, almost every NBA, WNBA city in this country, working with the best skilled people in the country, and in some cases in the world, you know, working with you, that I've put together this model. And what I have found is, and again, that's why I found this very popular. What I have found is so many kids today, and again, this sort of goes back to my Duke connection. You know, I've been to so many Duke practices or workouts, what have you, and they, even when they bring the Zions and the RJ Barretts and some of the best athletes in the world, they literally are teaching these guys how, you know, footwork, how to run properly, you know, all those kinds of things. That's one of the first things they do. And what I have found is, and even when I was over in Italy this past summer working with over 500 Italian youth basketball players, kids today need so much work with footwork. You know, there's just not being taught because, you know, too many coaches, especially youth coaches, too interested in winning and all those kinds of things. So I have found this model to be very effective. And the other reason why is because a lot of kids are going to strength coaches, performance coaches. I'm trying to teach youth coaches that, hey, you can be an all-in-one. You can be very efficient in a practice and get all this stuff that they need, even with body weight and strength and things like that, and movements and body movements. And I have a background in my NASM personal training certification. I even went out and got my CrossFit certification just because I wanted to incorporate that to my basketball training. So I feel between my knowledge of the skills, my knowledge of performance training, this is the win-win for coaches, like coaching the coach to become one of those type of coaches where they can coach all aspects of it. I really know and believe that this is needed across the United States. We are at Unleashed Potential. We are so big on footwork, Mike and Jason. I can't tell you how much time we spend on footwork. And we just get people coming back all the time saying that they cannot believe how much better their players have gotten, their kids have gotten, because of all the footwork stuff we do with their kids.
All right. So just for a youth coach who may be out there listening, who's hearing you talk and hears you say the words footwork, and I'm right. A youth coach who's maybe not very experienced, what does that mean? What does that look like? Give us a couple examples of things that you do with players or that you teach coaches to work with players in terms of footwork drills or footwork activities, however you want to describe it, that can help a coach to improve their players or could help a player improve their footwork.
Yeah, just some simple things as we do drills where they must, as they're dribbling the ball, they must circle a cone with their feet, you know, going up the side of a cone, a set of cones, series of cones, circling a cone with their feet as they're handling the basketball. That does two things. It's helping them with their footwork, okay? Then it's also helping them with their ball handling because they cannot focus on dribbling the ball or watching the ball because they have to also be working on their footwork at the same time. So that's just one way that we can do it. We also incorporate a lot of the mini band work, okay? I've shown those nationwide with our USA Basketball Coach Academies that I've been to. You can incorporate band work. We do this with youth all the time. Very, very affordable. You get these mini bands for, you know, $2 a band. And they have different levels of them. We've done these with, you know, kids in elementary school on up through professionals, actually. So there are a couple of things. And then we really, really focus a lot on pivoting. And that's part of USA Basketball with the line drills, learning how to pivot, jump stop, learning how to front pivot, leading with the toe, learning how to reverse pivot, you know, leading with the heel. Spend a lot of time doing that kind of stuff. And then some basic, you know, we do stuff footwork agility-wise with a ball. Then you can also do it without a ball. And, you know, every year when I've been, like, this is my 25th year working with Coach K down at Duke and their strength coach, Will Stevens. Even the stuff down there, the station work that we do, we have a station component down at Duke camp where we focus on footwork and agility with kids of all ages, again, from, you know, the youth kids all the way up through high school. And, you know, I've gained so much knowledge from that stuff just from being down there with them. So they're just some ideas, some different things that we do with footwork. Another one is this. When you we have one cone and we have the player stand to the right of the cone and they must do a full circle with their footwork around the cone before they receive the ball and take a shot. So they're working on their footwork coming into their shot. So there's different things that you can do that are very creative. And you know, I go back to the fun aspect again. And I when I was speaking up in Boston or when I was up at the Knicks recently, the junior Knicks, speaking with Coach Showalter was actually there. He and I were both there together doing that. You know, we talk about how to incorporate footwork into a lot of different things that needs to be done in terms of skill development, because I just think it's one of those things that are very, very much undertaught today.
Yeah. I think one of the things that I hear you saying, and it's a theme that's kind of run through a lot of the conversations that we've had with successful coaches all across the country, is being intentional about the way that you design your drills. So yeah, you could be doing a shooting drill, or you could be doing a ball handling drill, or you could be doing a footwork drill. But if you take the time to plan it out, or to learn from someone like you, Joe, or someone else who, you know, has some expertise, you can now take these drills and you can incorporate multiple skills into one drill. And therefore, as you said, become more efficient with what you're doing, where you don't just have to block it out and say, okay, now this is the ball handling block, and this is the shooting block, and this is the footwork block. We can design drills that have all of those things, all of those elements incorporated into it. And obviously, we know the game of basketball is a dynamic decision-making game, and things don't happen always in a game the way that we anticipate they will, or the way that they might in a drill where I'm working with a cone. So by incorporating multiple skills within what you're trying to do, I think that has an ultimate benefit of it helps with the learning transfer from the kid who's performing that drill to then be able to actually perform it in a game, which is the goal of every coach, is to have practice translate to the game. And I think the key is, again, being intentional with what you do. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And you know, the thing of it is, and it's funny because everywhere I go, whether it's, you know, I'm doing some international stuff now too, like with these Olympic teams from all over the world in different places, you know, we are so big on the why. I think, you know, I always say there's two people you can't fool. You can't fool kids and you can't fool NBA players. You know, they're going to call you out right away. You better know what you're doing. Seriously. I mean, kids know if you're going through the motions, if you're yep. just, if you're just not, you know, being purposeful or whatever. So we're very big on the why. And the other thing is, you know, the fun aspect again. And I tell coaches this all the time when I got this actually from Kevin Eastman, who's also one of my mentors, great mentors and great friend that you guys all know. You know, he always talks about when he's working, doing skill development, he gets two rules. You can't get bored and you can't get tired. But I feel like as a good coach teaching the game, you have to be creative today. I mean, we live in that generation where kids, you know, where these kids are in social media and all these other aspects. You can be very creative. And sometimes, and I got this off another coach from another country, I love to say this statement. Sometimes you got to hide the vegetables in the sauce. You know, I'll be the first to say that's not, I didn't make that up. I heard it from somebody, but I loved it. You got to hide the vegetables in the sauce. Sometimes kids are learning different skills while they're having fun, you know, and that's just, I just think you have to be very creative. There's more than, like you just said, there's more than one way to teach a skill. You got to be dynamic. You got to be creative. You got to be purposeful. You got to be efficient. So I think, you know, and again, I've just been very fortunate to be around some of the best of the best of the best. And I've taken, you know, I have my own philosophy, but I've taken bits and pieces from different people and put it together into a plan that's been very, very popular. It's been very, very successful. So, you know, that's the route that I go with this stuff.
All right. So talk about this, because I hear you as you're talking about some of the people that you've been fortunate enough to be around, that you've been able to learn from. And talk about what your process is for when you are with Coach Mike Krzyzewski, or when you're with Coach Don Showalter, or when you're with Coach Kevin Eastman, and you're seeing them, whether you're hearing them speak or you're seeing them actually work out on the court, or you're getting the opportunity to work at an academy or a clinic with them. What is your process for learning from them? In other words, you're watching them. Then how do you go about processing that? Are you immediately going back and having a notebook where you're writing that down? What's your process for remembering and then eventually incorporating what you learn into what you're trying to teach and how you put it into your programs?
Okay, great question. So what I do is, it's funny you said, go back and write it down. You know what? I have a book and I've always done this. I have a book. I consider myself a learn-it-all. So I have little black books, you might want to call them, or Nike. I have little Nike books, black journal type books, where I literally, anytime I'm down at camp with Coach, and again, 25 years of knowledge there, let alone that he recruited me to play at West Point when I was coming out of prep school. So we go way back. So anytime I'm with him or around him, and I'm telling you, I just pick up something all the time, whether it's, you know, something he says, or he has some assistant coaches, you know, do a drill, some kind of player development type thing. So every year when I'm down there, I'm writing things down. Now, being around Kevin Eastman, the same thing. I can tell you, you know, a quick story where, you know, Kevin Eastman, myself, and another great friend of ours, Carl Liebert, who was a teammate and roommate with David Robinson at the Naval Academy, were together before Clippers and Spurs playoff game, the day of the game. We're all sitting, all three of us are sitting at a table, and we all have our books out, you know, and Kevin Eastman says something, and I'm, oh, man, that's great stuff, and I'm writing it down, talking about some, you know, player development, whatever the case may be, leadership, I'm writing it down. Carl Liebert will say something, we're writing it down. You know, I don't know why they would write that. I mean, I'm certainly not as smart as those two guys, but, you know, if they hear something that they like from me, they'll write that down. So, I mean, I've always been that way. Coach Showalter, when I'm around him, every time I'm around him, you know, whether we're at a clinic, whether, you know, he and I spoke at the Super Clinic in Canada, I'm sitting there taking notes the whole time, writing as fast as I can, all the stuff that he's saying, the things he's demonstrating. I've always been a learn-it-all, Mike and Jason. And, you know, that's one thing that I like to tell coaches today, you know, that, you know, that's the way you have to be. You should always be, you know, trying to learn from someone. I've been in this business a long time, and I feel that I may be learning more now than ever. So I just think that's really important. And that's how I go about it. And then to answer the second part of your question, then I take it back. And here's what you have to do. And I talk to the coaches about this all the time. You have to, and I got this with my teaching career as a teacher, you have to monitor and adjust. So you take something that you found maybe, and you have to try and break it down and incorporate into the person or the kids or the professionals, whoever it is that you're working with, whether it's a college player, an elementary player, middle school player, high school player, you know, take what you've learned and make it your own sometimes, you know, maybe, you know, adjust it a little bit to that age group. So I really have found, and some of the best drills that I've done, I've actually taken and have adjusted. I can remember Kevin Eastman once telling me one of the best drills that he ever saw was from a middle school coach, and he was using it with the Boston Celtics. So, I mean, there are just things that I think you learn to do. And I think being a teacher has really helped me that, helped me do that. Being so, you know, having a detailed plan, you know, lesson plans. Well, I have a coaching plan. Everywhere I go, I have a coaching plan. You know, I laughed at it. When I was with the Boston Celtics last week, we're in the Auerbach Center, over 200 coaches sitting there. You know, and I held up my notes. I said, look, I said, this is a teacher in me. I said, I have so much stuff I can keep people here for 8 hours. And they all laughed, you know. But I, you know, that's just the way it is. I feel I have to be, you know, overprepared for that.
There's no doubt about that. I love what you said about being able to monitor and adjust. And I think that's one of the things that nowadays, especially because it is so easy to find information, and not necessarily all good information, but you can find lots and lots of information so easily on the internet, and you can find so many different videos of drills, and you can be on social media, and stuff comes flying across your channels and all this stuff. And what I found is that I'll take something and I'll see it and I'll be like, oh, I really want to try that. I want to see what that looks like. And sometimes I'll try it and the idea totally flops. Looked great on the video, but didn't work for me. Conversely, I'll try some things and it will work exactly as it looked on the video. It will work exactly the same for me. And then there'll be some that it just won't quite set up perfectly, and yet I can tweak it and I can change it just a little bit and get tremendous value out of it. And I think that's something that, again, a coach who maybe is more experienced is able to do that, whereas a coach who's maybe a little less experienced sometimes has difficulty with that. And I think if there's a message here, it's that you don't always have to do just what you see somebody else do. You can take something that Joe would show you at the junior NBA, you know, at the junior Celtics clinic, and it doesn't have to be exactly the way you did it. It can be slightly adjusted because maybe your kids are a little more skilled or a little less skilled than the intended audience. And I think that's something that as coaches, especially as we gain experience, that we get better at over time, is being able to adjust and take, borrow, steal, however you want to say it, and then make that your own. I think that's really the key to becoming, especially at the youth level. I think that's so important.
Yeah, Mike. I mean, you're right. You're right on point with that. And that's the point I always make to coaches when I talk to them. You know, it's one of the first things I say. I say, look, you know, I'm going to throw some stuff out here to you. you know, maybe you don't have the level of kids to do this. Maybe you have to water it down, like, you know, water it down a little bit to break, make it very, even more simple than this. You know, then I just think that, like you said, that's good coaching, I think. And, you know, that's good teaching. And again, you know, and I emphasize to these youth coaches, you know, you have to teach. Okay. It's more about teaching. We're not teaching kids. We're not trying to make kids good at doing drills. You got to tell them why we're doing this. This is what we're trying to get out of it. You know, we're not doing a drill to make you tired. Anybody can go out there and run kids around and make them tired. You know, that's the part that they really, really have to understand, that it's teaching. You know, whether you're teaching in a classroom, whether you're teaching in a gym, it's all the same thing. And you got to make it simple. You got to build, you know, there's a progression, all those kinds of things. And again, I'll say that, you know, a lot of youth coaches don't know that. You know, they don't understand. You should see the look on their faces when the one clinic I did in Boston for the coaches, one of the first things I said is, I said, number one, you need to stop playing zone defense. And a bunch of them just stood up and started clapping very enthusiastically. And some of the other people are like looking at me, their eyes got real big. Like, you could just tell they're the ones playing zone defense. I'm like, you know, stop, please stop, you know, doing that. And it's funny because I think I mentioned
this. All right, tell us why, because I know that this is a topic that I'm sure every coach throughout the country who is of the same mindset that you are, that Jason is, that I am, and that USA Basketball is, that the zone defense is a hindrance to the development of young players. But yet, I know you see it. I know I see it all the time. Coaches who are coaching a team of third grade girls, and those girls are just standing there with their arms up like statues in a 2-3 zone. So just give us some of the reasons, some of the rationale behind why playing zone defense at the youth level is not beneficial to the long-term development of the players on that team and also the players on the other team.
Okay, I'm going to give you the quick easy answer first, and then we can expound on that. So here's the answer. And again, I really believe, and I know, be great at playing man-to-man defense until you develop those skills, which takes, it's a progression, obviously, then you cannot, you don't, they have no understanding to play zone. Because really, when you think about it, playing a zone defense, you're playing man-to-man in your zone. But if you've never been taught to play man-to-man correctly, and you just stick somebody in a spot and say, okay, you're going to cover this area, they have no idea what they're doing. You know, so, you know, I will argue to the nth degree that you must learn to play man-to-man defense before you play zone. And it's funny because you hear people say, well, you know, you're telling kids they shouldn't be playing zone defense, but look at it, even Coach K's playing zone now. Well, yeah, okay, well, that's college basketball versus, you know, we're talking about kids in third and fourth grade that don't even understand man-to-man principles yet, and you're putting them in a zone? I mean, really? I mean, it just, to me, that's the most direct answer to that is, and I firmly believe that you must learn how to play man-to-man properly before you can ever consider even learning how to play a zone defense. You might be able to win a little bit easier that way, because teaching zone offense is very, very hard. First of all, teaching zone defense, the kids don't even know how to play man-to-man yet. The reciprocal to that is, you guys understand what I'm saying, teaching a young kid to play. I mean, we have high school kids that don't know how to play against a zone defense. You're going to take a third grader out there and try to teach them how to play against a zone defense on offense? So, I mean, that's my rationale, I would say, first.
Yeah, foremost. I guess my biggest thing that I always go back to is, one, what you just said, which is you have to understand how to play man in order to be able to play a zone well.
Right.
And again, you don't even have, but at the third grade level, you don't have to play a zone well for it to be effective, because
right.
We all know that, as to your point about being able to teach kids how to play a zone offense, if you think about the things that are successful when you beat a zone, one, you're going to shoot over the top of the zone. So, okay, you're going to have a third grade kid trying to shoot over the top of a 2-3 zone who can barely get the ball up to what's most likely a 10-foot what's most likely a 10-foot basket.
Correct.
Then you think about, okay, you try to teach kids to penetrate the gap, draw two defenders, and then kick the ball, you know, to the next guy. well, there's not many kids at the youth level who are strong enough to drive in between two defenders, rip the ball through, pivot, and then make a pass to the next, you know, the next available option after they draw those two defenders. And then you think about having to try to throw a skip pass. Well, no 8-year-old is throwing a skip pass across the court.
Correct.
And so you just think about all the skills that are necessary to be able to attack a zone. And the kids at that level just don't have those skills. And so there's a reason why zones are effective at the youth level in terms of if your only goal is to win.
Correct.
But we hope that by being able to educate more coaches, that people begin to understand that ultimately your job as a youth coach is not to win every single game that you play. We all like to win. Don't get me wrong. I know you like to win. I like to win. I get it.
Yes.
But ultimately at the youth level, our job is to develop our players, develop them as basketball players and develop them as people and develop a love for the game that's going to enable them to continue to play it as they get older. And when you see these teams that come out and they're playing a zone, or you get into a league where, you know, they're allowing 8-year-olds to full court press and there's only one kid on the other team who can even dribble the basketball at all, and it just becomes, it's not even basketball, and it's not really fair to any of those kids who are participating. It's not fair to the kids who are being asked to play a zone or sit in a zone, and it's certainly not fair to the kids who are playing against that zone. And it's just, again, I could rant against this all day, and right. Every time I see it, I just cringe. And I see it way, way, way more than we should, based on, again, the people who are behind the message of don't play zone. If you could just go online and search, you know, don't play zone defense in youth basketball, and then just find the list of all the authors of those articles and videos and everything else that comes up when you do that, it's like a who's who of, right, know, who's who of youth basketball. And so you hope that the more we can get that message across to people, the better off we're going to be and the better off the game's going to be, which is ultimately what, you know, we're all trying to do here. So I appreciate you sharing your thoughts behind that, because I think it's a big one.
Head Start Basketball, along with members of the Jay Billis Skills Camp staff, will be hosting the very first Prime Skills Camp, an affiliate of the Jay Billis Skills Camp that is held annually in Charlotte, North Carolina. Prime Skills Camp will take place on the campus of Western Reserve Academy, just outside of Cleveland, Ohio, June 26th through the 28th, and will be designed for boys rising to grades 6 through 9. Prime Skills Camp will mirror the Jay Billis Skills Camp in daily programming, teaching, coach-to-camper ratio, and quality of instruction. Prime Skills Camp brings all of the team-oriented individual instruction, focus on the fundamentals, and high-level coaching to young men aspiring to a high school varsity basketball experience. This camp is operated by Billis Camp veterans and includes the Jay Billis Coaches Development Program alongside the camp, ensuring that the quality of teaching and coaching at this camp is second to none. Please visit headstartbasketball.com or jbillscamp.com for more information or to get registered.
I know there was something else that you mentioned back when you talked about some of the things that you try to get across to your coaches. And one of them you mentioned was don't play zone. And then another thing you mentioned was the need for in practice to play small-sided games. So can you explain maybe for a youth coach who's out there, who's maybe a little inexperienced, what you mean when you say a short-sided game? And then what are some of the benefits of doing that within a practice setting?
Yeah. So by what I mean by that, and let me add this too, there's one caveat to that, because there's something else that I found, and this is reality also. Some youth leagues and youth coaches, by that I mean playing on a small court, maybe playing side to side, cross court, instead of like putting kids on a high school size court and having them play a game. That's like taking a T-ball or a buddy league baseball player teams and put them on a major league field and tell them to play a game. Okay. I mean, if you want to use an analogy, it's sort of that's one I like to use. So, but some gyms don't have the side courts where they can go side to side, you know, and that's what, even by playing on a smaller court to go, you know, third and fourth graders, they shouldn't be playing on a college size court, you know, or a high school size court to learn how to play the game. So that, and then just playing like 4-on-4, like maybe instead of 5-on-5, playing 4-on-4 to give them some more space, or doing a lot more 3-on-3. So, you know, what I like to encourage youth coaches to do is play more 4-on-4, play more 3-on-3, play more 2-on-2. Okay. Now, obviously they have to play 5-on-5, but, you know, spend some time doing that, but spend some time doing those other things too. And if you can, you know, I understand some coaches don't have that luxury of having be able to go side, you know, side courts, side to side that way in a smaller sided game that way. I get that, but as much as possible, I would say that. And getting back to the other thing real quick, one thing I found out working with Canada Basketball when they had me come up to speak in their super clinic with coaches from around the world last spring, and it looks like I just was contacted. They're going to have me come back up again here coming on, which is a tremendous clinic because literally coaches from all over the world. That's the one Coach Showalter and I both spoke at last year. But I wanted a Canada Basketball, the national organization, national body. They have what they call zone monitors that will show up at games, youth games. If they see coaches playing zone, they'll stop the game and say, you've got to stop playing zone, which I thought was tremendous. I never had heard that before. People that actually are in the Canada Basketball organization will go to you, show up, you know, not announce at youth games and just stop games. They see people playing zone, which I thought was phenomenal.
That's the best. That's the best. Yeah. I would love to see that. I'd love to see the look on the coach's face who was playing zone when the monitor shows up.
Can you imagine if we started doing that in the United States? They probably have to have police at those games. Some of those coaches would probably lose their minds. The ones that
I believe
swear
that.
By the,
yeah,
you know?
You're right about that. There's no question there. That's crazy.
Yeah.
But all right. So let's talk a little bit more about how you got involved. You've been involved with the Celtics for a while.
Right.
Now you've had an opportunity to get involved with the Knicks a little bit. So talk about how that came to pass and kind of where you are in your relationship with the Junior Knicks and the Knicks organization.
Yeah, so Coach Showalter contacted me here a couple months ago and just said that he was working with the Knicks and would like me to come also and work with the Knicks. He knew my involvement with the Celtics. And he just contacted me and said, hey, he goes, you know, well, I'd like to have you get involved with the Knicks. I know what you do with the Celtics. So I was very honored that he asked me to do that. And the Knicks organization asked me to do that. So we went up to the G League facility, Coach Showalter. It was in Westchester, New York, a very nice G League facility for the Knicks. And they had a Junior Knicks coaches clinic there. So Coach Showalter spoke and I spoke at that clinic. And I, you know, I demonstrated a lot of, you know, he basically spoke on USA Basketball philosophy and all the curriculum and all that kind of stuff. And then I, you know, spoke on player development at that level, what this competitive edge model looks like. And I actually took them through some drills and stuff like that. It was very, very well received. I think they, you know, according to the Knicks, they really, really enjoyed it and said they would like to have me back for that. So now that has spread on to the Knicks. This thing sort of has grown a little bit. I really believe at some point I'll be working with the Golden State Warriors also at some point. So it's sort of grown a little bit. It's sort of funny though, because, you know, it's all started with the Celtics and I'm a big part of that. And I definitely love doing that. But, you know, if I get asked to come other places, I certainly want to go and help as many coaches as I can there. So I'm very, very honored to be asked to work with the Knicks now.
Can you help the Knicks? Can you help the Knicks and fix their problem?
I'll tell you.
Is that next?
Yeah, I probably don't want to say too much about that, but I can say that every place that I go, whether youth coaches involved, I mean, they are seeking help and they are seeking knowledge. And a lot of them, again, really don't have. Some do. I'm not saying they all don't. Some have great knowledge, but a lot of them don't have a lot of knowledge on how to be working with youth. And one thing I will add to this. Also, most of these places that I go, which is this is a great thing. I know the Celtics do this. I think the Knicks are starting to do this too. They bring speakers in from Positive Coaching Alliance on, and they do a great, great job on, you know, speaking on just how to be a good coach and being positive and not negative and all those kinds of things that you hear and coaches losing their minds, you know, and getting thrown out of youth games and stuff like that. So they do Positive Coaches Alliance does a tremendous job with these, the ones that I've been to, it's a couple of the ones with the Celtics and, you know, different places. So they're trying to do things the right way. And that's a great thing. We need more and more of that. And with the
yeah,
NBA
the PCA,
programs.
Positive Coaching Alliance does a tremendous job. And I know I've said it a couple of times on the podcast, but I got trained as one of the trainers to be able to go out and give some of those presentations and just, and I've done a couple. I haven't done any really very much since I started doing the podcast, because that's kind of overtaken the training. But the ones that I did do were tremendously well received, and I can say that the content of those workshops is just outstanding. So for anybody who's out there listening, if you ever have an opportunity to go and attend a Positive Coaching Alliance workshop, or if an organization that you're a part of offers one to you, I would highly recommend going out and seeking that out, because you're going to come away from it, as Joe said, a better coach for having learned some of the things that the Positive Coaching Alliance shared. And I want to piggyback on what you said, Joe, about, you know, how the opportunity came to be with the Knicks, and that you may have an opportunity eventually to get with the Warriors. And I think you and I talked about this the last time you were on, and we talked about how important it is as a coach. You know, people sometimes hear about the opportunities that somebody else has, and Coach Showalter mentioned this when he was on as well, where he'll have coaches come up to him and say, "Hey, how do I get to where you are? How do I get these opportunities with USA Basketball, or how can I work with an NBA team, Joe? How does that happen?" And what I know you talked about, and what Coach Showalter talked about, is you have to be laser focused on what you're doing in the moment, while you're doing it, whoever you're doing it with, and do the best job that you possibly can. And if you do, there's a chance that somebody's going to notice that, hey, Joe is really great with this fourth grade basketball player. He might be great in this next role. But if Joe's going through the motions saying, I'm working with a fourth grade kid, you know, I'd much rather be working with an NBA organization, and then I'd work a lot harder. I think the lesson here for any young coach out there is, no matter what your job is, and whether you're the manager of a high school team, whether you're a volunteer youth coach, or whether you're a high school varsity coach, or somebody just starting out your college coaching career, you have to be great at what you're doing right there in the moment. And then when you do that, that's when other opportunities tend to present themselves. It's when you're focused on that next opportunity that you sometimes miss out on what's right in front of you, and then those other opportunities never come.
Oh, you are so right on with this one, Mike. I'll tell you, I could spend talking a whole another hour on this, because I'm living proof of what you just said. And I'll just throw a couple of things out there. And it's funny because, you know, you mentioned Coach Showalter. Someone had seen this, or had this in their closet somewhere, and took a picture of it and sent it to me, right? So here it was back in the late 70s. Coach Showalter and I were – he was a coach, high school coach in Iowa. I was head coach at Carlisle High School here in Pennsylvania. And we were both at five-star at the same time. It was like the mid-70s. And there, so I'm listed as the S's, right? So there's Don Showalter, Iowa, whatever high school it was. I can't remember. And there's my name right underneath his. Someone came across us and just said, he says, "I can't believe this." He says, "Here's an old flyer from Five Star Basketball with Garfinkel out in Pittsburgh. And you two are at the same camp, and you're literally listed right above and below each other." And there are some other coaches on there that are now in the NBA or what have you, but whatever. But you mean, you know, I get that question. Oh, it's funny you said that. I get that all the time. So coaches come up and say, "You know, I want to do what you're doing. And how can I get in and do this?" And I basically tell them the same thing every time. I say, "Look," I said, "you know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've worked hard everywhere I've been. I can still remember that five-star camp working with Coach Showalter was there. Where I'm working my station out in the macadam, out in the concrete, you know, 120 degrees in the shade, sweating like crazy, working hard. Garfinkel comes over and he stands there, watches my station, smoking a cigarette like he used to do. The outside courts, and he just nods at me, gives me the old head nod of like, yeah, I like what you're doing. You know, and that just got me so fired up. I just worked even all the harder. And, you know, in all those years I spent down with Coach K down at Duke, and he even says, he said this publicly numerous times at camp, to like when we do our first coaches meeting with 60 coaches for the camp, and he'll bring up, and he even says to me, he says, "You know, Joe," he goes, "did you ever think, you know, 25 years ago when you started working my camp and you were teaching in that classroom in Carlisle and coaching at Carlisle High School, that one day you'd be working with USA Basketball and you'd be doing all this stuff at the NBA and doing stuff international?" And I told him, and his point was to the young coaches out there, is like, "Look, you know, Joe never came here trying to to network and climb the ladder, find the next great job. He came here and worked hard, you know, and we noticed that, and we, you know, we back him on everything he does now, you know, those kinds of things. So they're the lessons that I tell people all the time, coaches, you never know when someone's watching what you're doing. You know, that's how I got my, you know, when I was national director of basketball for 24 Hour Fitness, Carl Liebert, you know, who was CEO of 24 Hour Fitness, wanted to change the face of basketball in the United States. He brought me on as national director of basketball. And we basically were doing or trying to do what USA Basketball is doing now, you know, nationwide. So, I mean, to your point, you know, it's a body of work. It's be great where you're at. Don't be chased. Don't chase success. Do the best job where you're at. And it's funny you get Mike and Jason because I'll be my son and my daughter-in-law, my daughter who's been involved with us too, doing our Unleashed Potential stuff. We work just as hard. I work just as hard with a fourth grader as I do when there's a, you know, I have a professional that I'm working with, or a Division I college player, or a, you know, a high school All-American, whatever the case may be. You know, there's no difference. Now, you know, we even do some of the same drills in some regards, but we just monitor and adjust based on the skill level. So to your point, and you know, the message I can give the young coaches is be great where you're at. Go out there and work hard, because somebody's going to notice somewhere along the line. You got to be patient. You know, I think a lot of times young coaches today, they don't see the process. They want to just jump to the end result, like you said.
Yeah, I think it's true. That's very true. And it's great advice. It was great advice. Anytime you can hear it and anytime we can repeat that message for coaches out there, I think it's something that, you know, you just talked about with Unleashed Potential and working just as hard with a pro player as you do with a fourth grader. And that's what it's all about. I mean, right. People notice that stuff. And when we say people, we could say somebody that might present you with another opportunity, but guess who else notices that? The fourth grader. Guess who else notices that? The fourth grader's parents.
Absolutely.
And that's how you build a successful business. That's how you build relationships. I just think, you know, it's incredible what you can do when you work hard and you do the things that you need to do, the opportunities that are going to come to you, and the people that you're going to be able to impact by putting your best, you know, putting your best out there. So I yep. agree with that 100%. Just as an aside for you, is, you know, you talked a little bit about Five Star, and I know we talked about it the last time, and just kind of the influence that it had, A, on you, and then B, just on the basketball landscape, and how much the basketball landscape has changed in that, where Five Star used to be the mecca and the hotbed of high school basketball, and it's slowly gone by the wayside. Well, just so you are aware, we are going to, coming up in February, we're going to have on a guy, Peter Casey, whose company owns the Five Star brand now. And he's going to come on and talk about the history of Five Star.
Awesome.
And where Five Star is headed in the future and what they're planning to do with the brand. So I'm very excited about that. We reached out to them to see if we could get somebody to come on and kind of talk about the history and talk about Garf and all the great players that have gone through there and just what it was all about and what it meant. Because I think a lot of kids today don't understand sort of the legacy of Five Star basketball camp. So I'm super excited about that, to be able to dig in with Peter and find out more about A, the history of the camp, and then also see where they're going to go in the future. So that's something that we're going to have him on. We're going to do the interview on February 5th, and then the episode will probably be, you know, sometime mid to late February it'll come out. So anybody who's a Five Star historian, or if you attended Five Star, you worked at Five Star, or you've just heard the stories, I think that's going to be a great episode to be able to listen to find out some more about the illustrious history of Five Star basketball and where it's headed moving forward. So
no, I can't wait to hear that one. That'll be tremendous, because certainly I tell you what, certainly a lot of great coaches and great players came through that place, that's for sure.
No question. So, yeah. No question. All right, let's jump to your international stuff. Talk to us a little bit about what you're doing with the national team coaches, what you did over in Italy last summer, and just give us an idea of what's going on with you internationally and how you're getting those opportunities and what that's all about.
Yeah, so here again, very fortunate. I guess this is my second year of doing this. I did it last year for the first time. But the University of Delaware, through the United States Olympic Committee, sort of USOC, through the NBA, through the NCAA. They have something called the International Coaches Apprenticeship for Basketball. Guy by the name of Dr. Matt Robinson, who's a professor, does a tremendous job of running this program at the University of Delaware. I met him actually through USA Basketball. I guess he heard me at one of the academies speak. And so he asked me to get involved with this. So basically what they do is they bring in Olympic coaches and national team coaches from a lot of different countries. For instance, I'll give you a list of the countries I worked with in the last 2 years. Countries like Angola, Bahrain, Canada, Puerto Rico, Italy, Albania, Russia, Latvia, Senegal, Egypt, Chile, Panama, Jordan, those countries. So they have to apply to get this, to come here, to do this, because it's a tremendous opportunity for them. So what they do is these national team coaches or Olympic coaches come in and they spend, I think it's overall about a month. So they bring me in for 1 or 2 days. They brought me in for 2 days this year. And I will spend 2 days speaking to this whole group on youth development, player development, all those things that, you know, a lot of those things that I talk about when I speak for USA Basketball, and just how to, you know, to run youth programs and how to run player development programs for their national teams. So I'll speak to them like a couple different sessions on that, which is tremendous, because I'll be honest with you, I'm gonna learn it all again. So I'm learning from them, just, you know, just listening to them talk and the questions they're asking me, I'm learning from them just as much as they're learning from me. And I've gotten a lot of great stuff from them. And then what they do is they'll bring in an NBA executive, like a general manager, and we'll have him like on, you know, teleconference. So they'll have some work with NBA people in terms of scouting, in terms of how NBA teams are run. And then they'll bring in an NCAA athletic director or two and talk about how the NCAA works with the athletic directors in the colleges. And then these coaches will shadow a Division I program for 2 weeks while they're here. Like some people have been sent to UNC, some people to Davidson, some people, you know, different, obviously the University of Delaware. It's just, I'm telling you, Mike and Jason, I'm so honored to be part of it. It's just a tremendous, tremendous program. And that's how a couple of things, you know, with Italy, I've got invited to Italy. I did a camp over in Italy last year called Jam Camp, one of the largest basketball camps in Italy, for 2 weeks. They had me come over. Steve Kerr has worked the camp. Coach Showalter has worked the camp a couple of times. So I was really honored to be asked to come over there, and actually invited me to come back again this year. So I'm going to go back there again this year. But it's been a tremendous experience for me, an honor. And, you know, it also has given me some other tremendous experiences. But what a great experience for them in terms of learning how we do business here in the United States with basketball and development and all those kinds of things. So, that's been incredible. I'm looking forward to continuing to do that.
What's something that you've picked up from one of those coaches that maybe you hadn't heard before, something that was unique in the way that they did things in their national basketball program that you maybe weren't aware of or you hadn't heard of before, something that kind of struck a nerve with you?
Well, the thing that I really, and I sort of had this feeling going in, that they are so into skill. Okay. Our teams are so athletic where for them to be able to compete with us, they have to be very, very skilled. So they are very, very interested in what I had to show them in terms of making players better, with player development. Because I mean, obviously they don't have the athletes that we have here. And I think that for them, they feel like for them to even be able to compete, they have to be so much more skilled. And then if you look at that and think about the Lucas and the guys that come over here, you know, that are so skilled. Now, Luca's not very athletic. He's a decent athlete, but he's nowhere near, you know, one of the top athletes in the NBA. But look what he's doing at a young age because he's so skilled. So to me, I've sort of had that idea anyway, but then in talking to them, and here's the other thing that I really noticed, is their budget is so much less than our budget here in the United States. I mean, some of these countries just don't have the kind of budgets that we do. So they're really interested in the different ways that they can increase their performance without a lot of money. So they're very interested in how I do my performance training here in the United States. That was something else that I really took away from them that they're interested in. So like I said, they really were very interested in what I had to offer, not only from the skill end, but from the performance end.
Coaches, we're going old school this week with a new offering from Tyler Whitcomb Basketball Coaching Courses. The Jerry Tarkanian UNLV Run and Rebels Playbook by Farshad Alemi is now available. Visit coachtube.com/users/Tyler Whitcomb to check out this great old school resource.
But, you know, they typically have the same problems that we. One thing that I found out, you know, they have players that aren't, you know, sometimes they have players that aren't coachable. That's a shocker, right?
So that's a shock. Yeah, it's a real shock. Yeah, exactly.
So that's sort of universal. It's funny. I was talking to the one, you know, the coach from Egypt. They say, yeah, we had this one guy. He goes, but then he just didn't want to do things our way. We had to get rid of him. I was like, oh, that sounds familiar. I said, yeah, we have that here sometimes too. So it's sort of funny that just to hear the different things like that, just to hear where they're coming from and what they have to deal with and all those. And the other thing is just they don't have knowledge of how the college system works here that well. A lot of them, some of them do, but a lot of them don't, how the NCAA works, how the whole college system works. And I missed the last part is, so last year we took them to see to a game then, the Sixers. Billy Lang, who's a very, very good friend of mine, was the assistant coach for the Sixers, now the head coach of St. Joe's. He met us before the game. We had the whole crew go over there, the whole gang of us, about 8 or 10 different countries and us. And we went over there, Dr. Robinson, we watched the game. They got behind the scenes look, just tremendous stuff. And again, you know, having the general managers, you know, on teleconference, you know, answering questions and all those things that they had, that they wanted to know, it's just a tremendous, tremendous, not only opportunity for them, tremendous opportunity for me, you know, just to be involved with a program like that. Like I said, you have the Olympic Committee, the NBA, the NCAA, everybody's involved in this. So it's, you know, it's something that I think a lot of people don't even realize exists. So it's pretty cool.
Just the fact that, yeah, I mean, just the fact that basketball is such a global game, number one. And then number two, for you to be able to interact with all these different coaches from all these different countries that are all part of different cultures. And it goes back to kind of what we talked about off the top, which is you have to be able to take something, a concept that you're presented with, and then tweak it, change it, make sure that it fits what it is that you're doing. So I can imagine if I'm coaching an Olympic team in another country and I'm trying to take some of the things that I'm being taught at one of these clinics, I take it back into my culture. I try to figure out, how is this going to work with my players? How can I tweak it so that it fits what we're trying to do, or it fits our style of play, or it fits our method of teaching, or however you want to phrase it. And for you, it just has to be a tremendous, it just has to be fun. I mean, I can't imagine getting the opportunity to talk to all these different people. It's sort of like the same thing that Jason and I experience here when we're on the podcast. There's no way without this particular platform that we would have been talking to you, or again, go through the whole list of guests that we've been fortunate enough to have on and pick their brain and talk basketball with them and learn about the way that they do things. We wouldn't have that opportunity without this platform. And so for you to be able to have this platform where you can go and you can be a part of working with people from all over the world who are involved in the game of basketball, or to work with the Celtics or the Knicks as part of what they're doing with the NBA and the junior NBA, and working with youth coaches and youth players and having an impact, that wide range of activities for you just has to be so satisfying. Again, if you go back and told your 20-year-old self that someday you'd be doing all these things, I can only imagine what your 20-year-old self would have said to you.
I'm telling you, Mike and Jason, I pinch myself sometimes that I'm so, you know, again, I'm so thankful and so honored, you know, to be able to do that, some of this stuff. And, you know, for instance, like we were at the Celtics game last weekend. They're playing the Hawks, but I completely forgot that Dominique Wilkins was he does color comedy. You know, he was president of basketball operations. I don't know if he still has that position or not with the Hawks, but he also does color commentating for the Hawks on their away games and home games. So he's there, work court side. I see him across the court, and he sees me. And, you know, when I used to travel the country as national director of basketball for 24 Hour Fitness, when Jay Williams and I did that, I actually worked with Dominique, you know, running some clinics with him in Hawaii for, you know, for youth and things like that. So we got to catch up, you know, and, you know, I'm standing courtside with him before the game, just catching up and going, you know, it's just sometimes I look back on that now and some of the things that I've been able to do. And I'm tremendously thankful to be able to do that. So, because my 20-year-old self back then, you know, I never would have ever dreamed that the game was going to take me, you know, to where I am. But then to your point, it doesn't just happen, you know. There's a lot of hard work, you know. And you know, when I was a high school coach, yeah, you have your ups and downs. I mean, I faced adversity, you know, all coaches do. And I think that's how you learn. You make yourself better because, you know, you don't win all the time. And sometimes it's hard. And sometimes you got to fight through things. And that's what I try to put out there to coaches, that's all part of it, you know, and relationships and hard work. And, you know, it's one of those things where I always say, too, that, you know, you got to teach people what hard work means today. It's a learned behavior. I really believe it's a learned behavior. You got to show them what that means, you know, hard work, whether it's a coach or a kid or whatever the case may be.
Yeah, I think from a coaching standpoint, it's one of the things that really stands out to me about the great coaches that we've had on is the work ethic and the time and the investment that they make in their players, whether that's a high school coach investing in the players on their team, whether that's a guy who's doing things more like you on the training side of it, who's investing in the players who are coming to them, trusting them with their development. I think that that is something that comes across loud and clear from all the great people that we've been fortunate enough to talk to, is that when you put the time in, when you dedicate yourself to what you're doing, then that's when the results come. And that's also when the satisfaction comes as a coach. And that's not to say that, as you just mentioned, you're not going to face adversity. You're not going to face hardship. You're not going to lose games. You're not going to have things not go your way.
Right.
But when you're in it for the right reasons, when you're doing things the right way, when you are investing in the people who are investing in you, then ultimately, you're going to end up with good results. And I think that really is what it's all about. And when we think about what successful coaching is, sure, wins and losses in a lot of cases, especially the higher levels you go, wins and losses becomes the ultimate judge of whether or not a coach is successful. But when we're talking about some of the levels that we've been talking about tonight, wins and losses take a secondary position to the ability to develop your players, not just as players, but also as people, and to develop those relationships that are going to stick with you for the rest of your life. And I think you've done a tremendous job throughout your career of being able to have those kinds of impacts. And it's clear from the people that you know and from the places that you've been able to get as a result of the hard work you've put in, that all the things that we've been talking about tonight are clearly genuine, they clearly are important to you, and that's why you've been so successful in your career. And so before we wrap up, Joe, I want to give you a chance to talk a little bit about just what you're doing with Unleashed Potential. Just give us an idea of some of the things that you have going right now, and then if there's anything else that we didn't mention that you want to share as well, you can do that, and then we'll start to wrap things up.
Okay, yeah, and thanks for the kind words. I really appreciate that. And with Unleashed Potential, one thing I do want to say is, you know, I'm very fortunate. I have my son, who was a former Division I player and actually third leading scorer. You're third or fourth in Carlisle basketball history behind Billy Owens and Jeff Lebo, who was a very, very great player in high school and college and all those kinds of things. And he works with me and does a tremendous, tremendous job of teaching the game, as well as his wife, who was a Division III All-American at Franklin Marshall College in Pennsylvania. So those two they go with me most places that I can take them, or they can, and do a tremendous job. And what we're doing with Unleashed is we just have, we're very fortunate. We have a gym to call our own here, but we do so many away games too, where we do high schools bring us on to do you know, player development with their teams, their whole programs, preseason, during season, postseason. We have AAU organizations that bring us on, especially one in particular. I say we have an AAU organization that we work with. Just one is because we're sort of like committed. We are committed to them. Mid-Penn Motion is a very large organization here in Pennsylvania. We do all the skill development training for their organization. We don't do any coaching the teams, any picking the teams. We just come to their practices and do that. They're the ones that get it. They bring us in to do skills, let alone just going out and playing games. So, you know, individual, small group training, there's so much we do. We're actually going up to Providence, one of the best organizations in Providence is having us come up and do a clinic here in February, a whole day clinic with them in Providence. So that's something we have coming up too. And plus we did one in Canada last year. So we're doing a little bit of international stuff also, but we're kept very, very busy with that. So for me, it's a sort of a balancing act of how much I can be away and how much I have to be here too. Because like I said, we travel all over the place. We have kids come from 2 hours or so away to come work out with us and train with us. So we're very, very happy with the way things are going there. So as far as things going forward, other than the thing in Providence, Coach Showalter and I spoke recently. We're going to do, I don't know if you heard about the gold camp that we do at USA Basketball now. We just started it last year.
Yes, yep.
Yep, the top 7th and 8th graders in the country. We're now starting to target the best 7th and 8th graders in the country for the junior national team. So he wants me to be involved with that again. So I'm looking forward to that. That'll be sometime here in the spring. And then the Coach Academies, obviously. And then I got the Canada Super Clinic coming up in May that I'll probably be a part of that one again. And plus, obviously, the Duke camp. That Duke camp's one that I just with my relationship with Coach K and their program. It's just it's a tremendous experience every year when I go there, and I'll do that. I make sure I always do that every year because of our relationship. So I would say that's a lot of great stuff going on for us, and getting very fortunate to be able to do what I do.
Joe, again, I think anybody who's listened to either your first episode or this one gets a great idea about what coaching means to you, why it's important to you, and just the people that you've been able to be associated with speaks volumes about the kind of person, the kind of coach that you are, and the kind of impact that you're having on coaches, players, and the game of basketball itself. And we feel very fortunate, right? Like we said at the very beginning of the episode, that you've been a part of what we've been trying to build here with the Hoopheads podcast right from the beginning. And we can't thank you enough for spending an hour or so of your time again with us tonight. We really appreciate it. Just before we go, just give everybody a quick contact information, how they can reach out to you if they want to get in touch with you, and then we'll wrap things up.
Yeah, well, first of all, I just want to say to you guys, thank you again for having me. Guys, you do a tremendous, tremendous job with the podcast. And I listen to it as much as I can. Every chance I get, I listen to the great coaches and the people that you have on here. And you guys, you know, I there are certain people in the country that are considered guardians of the game. And I would say, Mike, you and Jason are definitely on that list of guardians of the game, because you're trying to grow the game the right way. And like I said, the people that you have on here and the tremendous job that you guys do, I just think it's going to continue to grow and grow. And anybody that can listen to this should definitely do that. You'd be very fortunate to listen to what you guys have to offer on this podcast. And my so let me give you some contact info for me. My Twitter account is at Coach S. 717. My Instagram account is underscore JSTASYSZYN, and our Unleashed Potential is unleashed 717 is our Instagram, and it's unleashed717.com is our website. You know, I will say this: we put up stuff on our website all the time, different things that you can gain from what we do. So, you know, any listeners out there, coaches, feel free. If I can ever help you out in any way that I can, I would be glad to do that. That's one of the things I love to do, is give back to the game, especially the young coaches, So I've been very fortunate to, the game has been very fortunate to me. And one thing I like to end with is this, I like to say that the ball has magic. It brings people together and it keeps people together. So I really believe that. But thank you again, guys.
It truly does. Absolutely. It truly does. I think that our relationship is, proof of that there's magic in the ball. And we can't thank you enough, as I said, for jumping out with us. Your kind words about what we're trying to do here mean a lot to us. And we really do appreciate you and all of our other guests who have been willing to come on. And we appreciate our audience, people who are out there listening and finding value in what we do. It means a tremendous amount to both Jason and I, for sure. And to everyone out there, thanks for listening. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Registration is now open at headstartbasketball.com for this summer's Head Start Basketball Camps. We'll be hosting camps for boys and girls in grades 1 through 6 throughout the greater Cleveland area. Get registered today and make sure you hit the courts with us this summer.
Thanks for listening to the Hoopheads podcast presented by Head Start Basketball.